visit a small town in Saskatchewan, and chances are you'll find a Chinese restaurant. They're run by families, and sometimes those families live right above their businesses. The menus are familiar and comforting, and the restaurants are a gathering place for the community, a place for a meal, a cup of coffee, or a friendly chat. So I wasn't entirely surprised when I heard that a new book about Chinese restaurants around the world started with a story from right here in Saskatchewan. The book is called Have You Eaten Yet? And the author is Chuck Kwan. I've reached him over the phone today to learn more. Hi, Chuck.
Hi.
It's wonderful to have you on the show, and I wonder what inspired your decision to start this literary world tour of Chinese restaurants right here in Saskatchewan.
I met Noisy Jim, the character from our Saskatchewan chapter, back in 1997. While I was making my own tour of the prairies and visiting some of the prairie cafes, I find him absolutely adorable, and he was such a gregarious person that I thought, okay, I'm going to come back sometime and I want to make a documentary out of you. And I did that back in 2000, actually. And the result of that is part of my globe-trotting four-year odyssey around looking for Chinese restaurants around the world. I went to 15 places to five continents, from the Amazon to the Arctic, and from Israel to Argentina, and everywhere else in between. It just happened that Noisy Jim's place was the first stop of my journey. It is very appropriate for a Canadian book like mine to start with the first chapter in Outlook Saskatchewan.
That's great. Now, Noisy Jim gave himself his nickname, if I understand correctly. Why did he call himself that?
He's boisterous and really, really noisy in the cafe. And all his customers saying, hey, Jim, you're so noisy. And so one day he says, just call me Noisy Jim.
So he embraced what might have been, you're too noisy, to being something that he said, yeah, I am noisy, and I'm going to celebrate that about myself, I guess.
No, yeah. He's a funny man. He's humorous. He likes to play jokes on people, and I just find him absolutely charming.
I know that Chinese people wouldn't consider the food served at restaurants like the New Outlook Cafe as authentic Chinese food, but what Right. do you think those menus tell us about how Chinese people like Noisy Jim kind of adapt to life in a new country?
Mostly it's a matter of survival. You have to pretty much serve what your customers want. Most of the customers, when they started, or when anybody started a prairie cafe, would want the old standard, what we call Chinese Canadian or Chinese American food, egg foo young, egg roll, chop suey, and the likes. And of course, Noisy Jim's Cafe doesn't just involve Chinese food. It has, the standard bacon and eggs and pork chops and gravy and potato and so forth. So it's basically a conscious decision. You're not going to introduce anything that your customers will stay away from. So you want to make sure that your customers are happy.
So in the context of that, where you're really trying to just make your customers happy, how challenging is it to retain your own sense of identity as a Chinese person?
This is where everybody has their own way of dealing with it, and not necessarily through food. But a lot of times we find there's a common trait among the Chinese immigrants and the Chinese diaspora around the world. First and foremost is the respect for family. So even if you were a kid, you would not say no when your parents ask you to tend to the store or to run the restaurant. When I was interviewing Noisy Jim's kids, they were saying that, it was tough. Our friends are all over the place and they want us to go out and we can only stay at the restaurant and serve the customers. So they went through a tough childhood. It's part of the family business and part of the family values that I find Chinese immigrants bring along everywhere they go. The other value that I would identify as being common is the strive for education. I mean, Noisy Jim talks about saying, look, I put them through college. and I don't want them to repeat my mistake of opening a Chinese cafe. So he actually pushed them out, you know, when they were growing up and say, look, you know, you become a doctor, you become a lawyer.
Yeah.
Don't ever come back to this restaurant to make a living.
You've called your book, Have You Eaten Yet? And I wonder if you can tell us what that phrase means in the context of Chinese culture.
Have you eaten yet is a colloquial Chinese greeting. When you see each other on the street, instead of the British, oh, bloody weather, you say, have you eaten yet? It's a sense of caring about other people, whether your stomach is full and whether you're well. And it has a bit of historical context, of course. You know, in the old China, people might not usually have enough to eat. So asking if, you know, somebody's eaten yet is a sense of caring about the other person. It becomes a kind of a greeting. It loses its meaning in the modern times, but certainly has that kind of food and caring that comes with it.
As you've mentioned, you travel to so many different places in the world in the pages of your book. Like you said, from Israel to Argentina, so many African countries like Kenya, Madagascar, and South Africa. You even went to Norway. How did you go about picking the places that you would visit?
I have a tendency to go for the quote-unquote exotic places, places that I have never been to. Coming from an English-speaking country, I'm very fascinated by Chinese who speak Swedish or Norwegian or Spanish or French. So I made a point of finding these countries where Chinese people have migrated to. I usually make one trip before I go with my crew to film, in this case, and I would go through the connections. The wonderful thing about Canada is that through Toronto or Vancouver, I would meet a lot of Chinese coming from other places who have now migrated to Canada. So I would meet my neighbor who's from Mauritius. He would say, hey, Chuck, you know, go see my sister-in-law in Mauritius and she will take you around.
Nice.
And I did. And did that. And this is a connection that I really, really treasure. There's a whole connection between among the diasporic Chinese. Almost always based on a handshake. It's almost always based on, say, hey, we're from the same village or we're from the same province. I would certainly treat you like an honored guest when you come to my place. So this is how it opened the doors for me for everywhere I went.
Wonderful. Now, I know these stories were part of a film series originally, and now you've sort of sat down to bring them to life in the pages of the book. And I've really been struck by the very particular details that you provide in the book about the people you meet. You know, whether you're sitting down with a crooner in Havana or having a very boisterous mm-hmm. all-night party in Norway, the characters mm-hmm. really spring to life. And I wonder, Chuck, why that kind of detail is important to you.
I'm a filmmaker first, I guess. So I pay attention to a lot of details that come on screen. And I also have the advantage of having the entire transcript of my shoot when I'm writing my book. The remaining part, of course, is recollection. And I am pretty good at I'm a photographer myself, so I have a good eye in terms of spotting things. When you translate that into words, then it becomes, it comes to life on your pages.
As you think back on all the experiences that you revisited for this project, what's one that you were especially excited to reconnect with?
I made a point of dealing with the racism and the anti-Asian hate that yeah. was pervasive during the last few years.
Yes.
The COVID, blaming the Chinese, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I made a point of writing an epilogue about something that happened many years ago, but I want to bring it to the present and talk about travel, talk about eating in the COVID times, but mostly talking about kind of racist policies that a lot of the Chinese immigrants have to endure.
Yeah.
Chinese immigrants come into Canada having to pay in head tax and also finally get excluded from Canada entirely in 1923 via the Chinese Exclusion Act. this is after they built the railroad for Canada, and pan for gold and in the Fraser Valley and so forth. I find that very common everywhere around the world. In Peru, they were really having a tough time being excluded from society. I thought that this is a wonderful time to bring it all together and talk about and bring it to the present.
Yeah.
Hence the epilogue that I connected with somebody who, he's a Chinese American who born in U.S., but then he suffered racism as well. That's why he left America and went to Europe. It's that kind of wrapping up of my stories.
I think it's so important to reflect on during these times. And as you think about experiences of anti-Chinese racism that have touched your life, what comes to mind for you?
I think we can always look for a better world. I've always had that belief. Part of it is from my upbringing. I have a very diasporic upbringing.
Yeah.
I was born in Hong Kong, grew up in Singapore, went to high school in Japan, went to university in the States, and then immigrated to Canada as an adult. Everywhere I went, I find myself being very adaptive to the local culture and language, but also to connect with people and look at the good side of people. This is what drove me to make this film and write this book. It's basically, I just love the people I met on along the way. They are such a wonderful people. You know, you might not be friends with them, but when you sit down with them, you talk to them about their background, how they came to that country, how they raised the kids. It's a universality in the whole approach to life. I'm very optimistic, let's put it this way, about the fact that we can, as human race, we can all come through together. That would be, quote unquote, my message to the world.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good message and a very important message for us to hear at this time. And what I will say about the people that I met in the pages of your book is that, obviously, I've never met them in person, but you do almost feel like you have dipped into their world and made a new friend as a reader. So thank you for that gift of actually just sharing the humanity of the people you met along the way.
Nice talking to you, Shana.
All right. It's been great to chat with you. Take care.
Take care.
Chuck Kwan is a Canadian filmmaker, director, writer, storyteller, and activist. His brand new book is called Have You Eaten Yet? Stories from Chinese Restaurants Around the World.